All right. Okay. Let's kind of pick up where we have been recently in the going into the word here. We'll start in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 again, just to pick up a couple of verses here. And it says here, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Amen. You know, brethren, I believe that we need the spiritual nourishment, the drink and the meat, if we are to come into this place of travail and where we come forth as a man child. We need to be fed. We need to be prepared and built up in the spirit for this type of thing. Let me look at another couple of verses here. There's one in 1 Corinthians, if you move over to chapter 12, and I'll just pick up verse 13 here. It says, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one spirit. Amen. So that rock, there is a rock, that rock that followed them is Jesus Christ. Let me look at a little bit more of what Jesus had to say about the nourishment that he is offering to us. And that he offered, we remember a couple of weeks ago, we talking about the woman at the well and John chapter 4. Again, a couple of verses here that Jesus spoke to this woman at the well. Verse 13, I believe it is. And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Now, in the wilderness, we know that that rock was Christ, and Paul says that they drank of the spiritual water. Now, I'm not sure that the people were aware that they were drinking spiritual water and that they were eating spiritual food. They probably had their eyes on the natural. Nevertheless, because of the circumstances that they were in, they were all in the same place. They were all going through the same thing. There was the tribulation that the desert brought them, the heat, the scorpions, everything that happened to them in this desert was feeding them some kind of a spiritual food that would prepare them to go into the kingdom of God, shall we say, the Canaan land, which is the fullness of the kingdom, a type. And so let me just pick up another couple of verses. That's the woman at the well. He made it clear to her that there was living water. Now, the woman wanted the living water, and she recognized that there was something unusual about this man that was standing there that had asked her for a drink. And she knew that there was something spiritual, and especially when he told her about her life and told her how She needed deliverance, and she needed hope, and she needed a purpose in her life, which she had apparently lost. And it doesn't say everything that happened there in that Samaritan place, but Jesus stayed a while, and he preached a while. And we believe that he brought some life into those people's, into their lives, into their circumstances, into their homes. Amen. And that their life and their way of life and the way of in their spirit began to take a turn and turn to something that gave them a hope. Amen. Now, we find if we just turn a few pages over to chapter 7 of John and verse 37, we just want to try to confirm what he's saying here with two or three more witnesses. John 7:37. Now, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." My goodness, this had to be quite an announcement in Jerusalem. The last day of that great feast, he's offering them living water again. Amen. "He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath saith, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified." So this river of living water, this is not natural water again. This is the Holy Spirit. I believe that what Madeline spoke a few minutes ago is that if we believe and if we walk in this place as Christ, we will see this living water flowing out of us, a living water that will bring life to other people, that will bring healing to other people, that will bring deliverance to other people. Amen? Amen. So Jesus announced this again at the day of the feast, living water, nourishment. Amen. Now, let's go back and look into Exodus to see what this rock, what is said about this rock, okay? And I think if you go back to the 17th chapter of Exodus, we will see the first introduction of this rock. Now, the people, of course, were in a desperate place in the natural. I wonder if God doesn't allow us sometimes to get into a desperate place, a place where we think that they have, Lord, if you don't do something, we're not going to make it. Well, it isn't just that the people, their attitude was not very good. At this time, it wasn't just that they were saying, "Lord, we need you, Lord, we need you," but they were complaining and they were murmuring and they were coming against the Lord for the circumstances that they were in. I don't know how many of you have ever complained to God about the circumstances you were in. I know that I used to do that years ago, but finally I came to the Lord and he gave hope and he said, "Will you bear with me a little while longer?" So I knew that he was in charge of the circumstances. It was him. Whenever he gave permission, the circumstances would change again. But he was in charge of it all. So here we have God in charge of bringing these people out and bringing them to a dry and thirsty place where they believed that they were going to die, where they believed that all their cattle were going to die. I cannot imagine how couple million people with cattle, with sheep, with cows, I cannot imagine in my natural thinking mind how they could possibly survive out in that Sinai desert, how they could survive even one day out there. I don't believe that there are natural springs of water out in that Sinai Peninsula desert. Amen? And have you ever been there? How many of you ever been in that place? I have not been there, but I know brethren that have been there. Amen. Well, all right. So Exodus 17, let's look at that. And it says, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord and pitched in Rephidim. And there was no water for the people to drink. Now, don't we understand that the cloud led them, and that whenever the cloud moved, they would pick the tabernacle up, pack it up, move it along to a new place, and it was God that directed every move. There were 38 encampments, by the way, in the desert that the children of Israel went through. After Kadesh Barnea, there were 38 more years. In other words, they'd already been in the wilderness for 2 years. And at Kadesh Barnea, they had the opportunity to go across, and it was only Caleb and Joshua that had belief, that believed that they could do it. Amen. So it was God that led them to this place of Rephidim, and there was no water. God led them into a place of no water. Amen. Why would he do a thing like that? In order to manifest that he is the one who is the rock who can bring the water. Amen. Therefore, the people did chide Moses. See, how did they handle it? Well, they didn't handle it very well, did they? They murmured, they complained, they blamed Moses for it, and said, give us water that we may drink. Well, they were praying to the wrong man. They should have been praying to God. And Moses said unto them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? Amen. Why do ye tempt the Lord? Well, what's that word tempt means? Contend with the Lord. Test the Lord. Amen. So, and the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses. How many of you know that the Lord doesn't like murmuring? Do you know what murmuring is? Murmuring isn't just a loud shout, like they have these riots and these demonstrations. Those people are not murmuring. They're screaming and they're shouting and they're demanding and they're getting into all kinds of physical destruction. That's not murmuring. Murmuring is just a little brook. Just making little sounds, quiet. Rita said talking under your breath, mumbling under your breath. Somebody else, the next person hears you, he murmurs on to the next one. Finally, this murmuring spreads throughout the whole camp. So the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst. This seems like a theme that keeps coming up. Weren't there enough graves back in Egypt? Why can't we go back and be slaves to Pharaoh again? At least we knew we had a little something to eat and a little something to drink, and the old Nile River was there, and we don't like this. We don't like this unknown thing here. We want things reliable, consistent. Well, God doesn't give you reliable and consistent things in your natural circumstances, especially when he wants to bring you up higher. He puts you in a position like that so you'll cry out to him, Lord, how are we going to do this? I'm ready to obey. I'm ready to do whatever you ask. Amen. And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. My, it was serious. It wasn't just murmuring. I wonder how many of them came around Moses and he looked at their hand that was down at their side, and there was probably a big rock there in their hand. And they were shaking their hand at him. Moses thought they were ready to stone him. Amen. And the Lord said to Moses, Go on before the people and take with thee the elders of Israel. See, the elders are going to have to be involved in this too. It's not just the ministry. It's not just the prophet. It's not just the apostle. Amen. It's not just the evangelist. The elders are involved, fully involved in all of this. Amen. And thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take it in thy hand and go. This is the same rod that was stretched over the Red Sea. This is the same rod that was stretched over the Nile River and turned it into blood. Amen. This is the symbol of authority. Take that symbol of authority, and I will give power unto my two witnesses. I will give authority, is what the Lord is saying. And so take that symbol of authority. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. I wonder how many of them saw the Lord standing on the rock. Now, there was a natural rock that they saw, but the Lord said, I am going to be standing on that rock. In fact, he said, I am the rock. Symbolically, I am the rock. All they saw was a natural rock. I'm not sure how much Moses saw, whether he actually saw the Lord standing there. Amen. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribeth, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Massah and Meribeth, tempted and contention, is what those words mean. So we see the rock. Now, come over to Numbers chapter 20. This rock followed them. So they come to another place, and the rock seems to have shut down. Amen. Don't you wonder how that rock followed them? That rock had to follow them. 38 encampments. Every place they moved, that rock was there. And that rock was pouring out water. Brethren, several million people. I don't know if any of you have ever worked for the waterworks of a city or anything. Can you imagine the amount of water that has to flow through these pipes to service a city of several million people, plus cattle? This rock had to be flowing, 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 a stream, a river, just on a constant basis. But now they take it for granted. They come to a place toward the end of their journey. And here we see in Numbers chapter 20, let me get the right verse here, verse 7. Amen. So the people are running out of water again. Oh, let's go a little bit further back, because they're acting the same way they did. This is now after Miriam had died. They're coming to the very end of their travel in the wilderness. Okay. And there was, verse 2, and there was no water for the congregation. And they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron. It's your fault. Your fault. The apostle, the prophet, it's your fault. You brought us out here. Well, did Moses and Aaron bring them out? Or did the Spirit of God bring them out? I thought the cloud led them to wherever they were to go. They were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, and they drank the same spiritual drink, and they ate the same spiritual food. They're all in the same circumstance. Amen. And the people chided. Chode, chode, that's the past tense of chided, I guess, with Moses and spake, saying, Would God that we had died when our brethren died before the Lord. Oh my goodness, now. This is now another generation. The fathers have almost all died off, the mothers, the old ones. Amen. Why have you brought up this congregation of the Lord into the wilderness that we and our cattle should die here? When are these people ever going to have faith and believe? Doesn't anybody remember the Red Sea anymore? Doesn't anybody remember the rock at Meribah? Is there no memory of these things? Come on, brethren, can't you look back in your life and see the hand of God? Why would we chide against God today? And wherefore have ye made us come up out of Egypt to bring us into this evil place? It is no place of seed or of figs or of vines or of pomegranates, neither is there any water to drink. This is not the promised land, Moses. Are we there yet? How many of you ever had children travel with you? You tell them we're going to travel 100 miles to another place. You get out there about a half hour. Mom, Dad, are we there yet? Are we there yet? When are we going to get there? I see Lucy smiling. Do you know what that's all about, Lucy? Amen. Yeah, are we there yet? Well, that's what the people are asking. And we're hungry. And we're thirsty. And Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And they fell on their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. Amen. And the Lord spake unto Moses. Now we're getting into this one. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Take the rod and gather thou the assembly together. Okay, not just the elders this time. Get everybody around this time. Okay? Thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water. Oh, his water. This rock has got a name. It's a pronoun, not an it, but his. Him, the rock, him, his water. And thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Now, how did Moses handle it? He obeyed the first time, didn't he? We got a problem here. Moses hasn't dealt with all his anger yet, has he? That dream that Jim read to us, what was God delivering them of? Some of them were being delivered of anger, weren't they? You know, you can hide anger pretty good up to a point. And if it hasn't been dealt with, you come up to a certain point where you get to where you're in a circumstance, it's desperate, you can't do anything about it. And you're helpless. Can I just share something really dumb about myself? This happened. I'm hoping that I've overcome all this. I'm going back about 25, 30 years ago. I'm driving the car. I'm away from home, and something goes wrong with the car. So I pull into a park in front of a store somewhere. It's raining. I get out. And I've got a flat tire too. And things were not going peaceful in the car up until that point.
You know what I did? I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I got out of the car. I looked at that flat tire standing in the rain, and I go like a 3-year-old. I'm jumping up and down. I'm going like this. I say, I can't take it. I can't take it. Well, what was I doing? I must have been having a temper tantrum. What good did it do me? None. And this is, Moses is going to have a temper tantrum here. Moses, I mean, the man of God, the prophet of God. Listen, let me read it to you. We might as well, because this is what happened. And Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he said unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? We. What power did Moses have in this, we fetch you water? So he's angry. And Moses lifted up his hand with his rod, and he smote the rod twice, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given unto them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord, and he was sanctified in them. Water of Meribah again. Now, one more. Let's follow Moses right to the end of this thing. Deuteronomy 32. We're talking about a spiritual drink now. See, the rock is Christ. Christ was smitten once. And because of his being smitten, he brought forth living water, the Holy Spirit flowing, the life of his blood flowing freely to us. Smitten once, not twice. God cannot allow the pattern of being smitten twice and say that he's going to bless it. But he did give them water. They needed water. All right, Deuteronomy 32, verse 48. And the Lord spake unto Moses that selfsame day, saying, get thee up into this mountain, Abiram, unto the mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jordan, and behold the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel for a possession, and die in the mount whither thou goest up, and be gathered unto thy people, as Aaron thy brother died in Mount Hor, and was gathered unto thy people, because ye trespassed against me among the children of Israel at the waters of Meribah, Kadesh, in the wilderness of Sin, because ye sanctified me not in the midst of the children of Israel. Yet thou shalt see the land before thee, but thou shalt not go thither unto the land which I give the children of Israel. So, the spiritual water. Now let's go back to John chapter 6, because there's spiritual food as well. John chapter 6. And what happened here in John chapter 6 is that he fed the 5,000. Now, let me read verse 9 through 14. Okay. So the people followed him the next day to the other side of the lake. And
well, first, no. Let me take it before that. Yeah, okay. So there was a lad here. They said, Jesus is asking the disciples, how are we going to feed all these people? So there's a lad which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. Well, if there were 5,000 men, their wives came with them, that makes 10,000. They each brought two children, on an average. So there's 20,000 people here. That's a big congregation, isn't it? Amen. So Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Amen. Listen to this. Nothing of the word of God be lost. Nothing go to waste. Even if you've had more than you need, nothing is going to waste. Therefore, they gathered together and filled 12 baskets, amen, with the fragments of the five barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. When those men which they had seen the miracle that Jesus did said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. All right. Now, let's go over to verse 26. Okay, what's happened here now is they followed him the next day to the other side, and they said, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. In other words, you're not here really for the spiritual food, are you? You're here to fill your belly again. You got a free meal. Didn't have to pay for it. You want to see that miracle again. You have only natural thoughts. Amen. Now, he says to them, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. So he's telling them now that there's a different kind of bread. He said, don't spend all your time looking for the natural bread. I wonder if they understood. Labor not for the bread that perisheth, but for the meat that endureth. Now it's the same thing he was saying to the woman at the well. You come here for the water that perishes. You're going to be back tomorrow. You're going to come back the next day. This water isn't going to keep you forever, but I can give you something that you won't thirst. So Jesus is saying, all right, everybody had free fish and bread yesterday. Now, that's what you're going to labor for? Is that what your goal in life is? No, I've got something better. Labor for this. Now they heard the word labor, okay? And then they said unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? So now, how can we, what can we do? What works can we do? Give us a formula, Lord. Then we'll make a church. And we'll make a list, and we're going to say, okay, if you do this, 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 if you do this. In other words, you come in, you have to get baptized, you have to get this, you have to get that. And here's all these things. Now, if you follow all these, you'll be a good member of the church, and you will have accomplished all the things.
And we're going to give you a certificate, and we're going to give you an attaboy. And when you get 10 attaboys, you're going to get a gold star, whatever it is. You know what I mean? So this is what they heard. What work shall we do that we might work the works? Have you ever asked God, God, what do you want out of me so that I can raise the dead and heal the sick and prophesy? What should I do that I can have that gift? Did you ever want a gift the word says to desire the better gifts, doesn't it? So how do we go about getting them? Well, I have to be good for one whole year, not have any temper tantrums and not say any bad words or anything. No, what work shall I do? And Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he had sent. In other words, the work is to believe. Who already said that this morning? Was that Madeline? Somebody said that this morning. That we will believe. If we believe. In other words, we have to have faith. Our work, the work that we shall do, is that we will believe. Now, we're talking about spiritual food, aren't we? We have to have spiritual food in order to have faith, in order to believe. You don't have to try to work something up. All you do is you believe. I wonder if we've really discovered the power of believing. Now, I'm not trying to make a faith something or other organization like there is in Oklahoma or something. I'm not trying to do that. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying the word is very clear that we need to believe. Now, let's go into this. Therefore, they said unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. Oh, now they're getting into they think they're getting into some real spiritual food here now. Our fathers ate manna. Wow, that's not something you can grow on a tree or anything like that, you know? And as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Well, yeah, it was bread from heaven. But was it? Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. All right, we've got another layer. We've got another notch of manna here, haven't we? They ate a miraculous food, and now Jesus is suggesting that wasn't the real thing. There's something better than that. Amen? What is it? What is something better than that stuff that they went out and picked and fried and cut and mixed with their everything that they ate? What is better than that? Well, the word of God. What was that? What was that verse from John 1:1 that was read this morning? And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Amen. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. There's the bread. That's better than that stuff you ate in the wilderness. Amen. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us of this bread. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is the talk to the woman at the well again. You know, this, I believe this must be a theme that keeps coming up in his teaching. Things that we don't know that were spoken. Now let's go a little bit further into this. In verse 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. Yeah, they are, aren't they? They're not with us anymore. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat and not die. What bread? What is the bread that cometh? I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He's going to give his flesh. He's going to give it all. Amen. Now, move down to 53. And Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is the bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. So these things he taught in Capernaum. Now, we come down to verse 60. Amen. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can bear it? Now, what's he doing? Come on. How are we going to eat him? How are we going to drain his blood and drink it? Okay, this is getting a little bit, no, this is a little too much. Come on, okay, I've been able to follow along up to this point, but come on, we're going into cannibalism and you know, this is clearly against the law. We're not to eat human beings. But they didn't recognize. He was not talking about himself as a human being. He was talking of himself as a spirit being, as a life-giving spirit being. So how does the Catholic Church deal with these verses, if indeed they deal with them? Well, they take it in the natural again. Well, when they have their communion, the priest, they say the priest literally changes that bread into the literal, absolute flesh of Jesus Christ. And that cup of wine literally becomes the blood of Jesus Christ. Transubstantiation, they call it. It's a wicked false doctrine. No priest has the power of doing a thing like that. Furthermore, that's not what Jesus meant, that you're going to be eating human steak and something like that. No, that's not what it means. Now, let's come down here a little bit more. The disciples said, some of them, they went away. This is too hard. We can't take this. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Are you offended? Amen. What and if ye see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? Here's the key. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, we're talking about the table of showbread here, brethren. It is the Word of God that is going to nourish you. It is the Word of God that is going to keep you. It is the Word of God that is going to take you through tribulation. It is the faith in the Word of God that you will know you are under the shadow of the Almighty. When the enemy comes against you with a flood, you will know that the Spirit of God will raise up a standard against it. Or you can murmur and you can scream and or you can cry and you can blame God for bringing you into this place. But it will not, that will not get you out. Amen. But there were are some of you that believe not, for Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. You can't even come to salvation except the Spirit of God draw you. Amen. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. So let me just read a verse or two in 1 Corinthians again, when this is celebrated in the communion. 1 Corinthians 10, 16. No, I got the wrong verse here. Oh, that's 2 Corinthians. No wonder it's wrong. This cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion or the fellowship of the body of Christ? Amen. Chapter 11. Go over one chapter. In verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And we had given thanks, he brake it and said, take and eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. See, it's a remembrance. And after the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Hallelujah. So, this is a remembrance. Now I want to take you to two more verses. Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 17. And this is to Pergamos. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that received it. The overcomer. Jesus talked about that manna. He said there's something better than what your fathers ate in the wilderness. There's a better manna. There's a spiritual manna. But it's hidden. You see, you're not going to see it with your eyes. But it's a spiritual food. It's the life of Jesus Christ. You need to take him into all of your being. And he will give you life. His life. Quickening your life. One last verse here in Deuteronomy chapter 8. And he explains to them now here in Deuteronomy chapter 8 what you went through. We're coming to the end of the journey in the wilderness now. Why did I take you through? Why did I suffer you to thirst? Why did you have to depend on me for something that you never had heard of before? All the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. We're coming into a land now, a different land, a spiritual land, that the Lord sware to give us and to our fathers. The kingdom of God, amen, in our soul, amen. We're going to have this land in our soul. We're going to possess it, amen.
And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. What? To humble thee, and to prove thee, and to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldst keep his commandments or not. And he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger. Yes, he put that out there. He brought you to a place where you weren't always well fed. You would hunger. Why? And he fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. How many of you have been eating manna that your fathers never knew about? Let me tell you, my fathers did not know this message. They knew the ABCs of the Word of God, but they did not know this truth. And I came to a place where I began to eat this manna, this hidden manna. And I said, Lord, you're not playing a trick on me, are you? Because in order to take this manna, in order to take this word, I'm going to have to leave behind the things that I thought were reliable, the things that I depended on. You're not taking me down some street to find out that I can't go any further and you made a trick on me, are you, Lord? I actually said that to the Lord one day. It was about 40 years ago when I began to come into this word. No, he didn't play a trick on us. He's going to bring us to the promised land, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee to know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. And over in verse 16, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee. Yeah, we need to be humble, don't we? Get that pride taken out of us. Amen? That he might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. It's the latter end, brethren, to do thee good. And thou say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant with which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Amen. So I think that's about all I'm going to share today, and I'm going to leave the recording on. I can't hear you if you're trying to say something.
I'm not sure if you're going to be able to hear me or not. We're having trouble with Sissy's computer, so.
I can hear you real good, Mike.
Okay, great. Maybe it's only on the other end then. But I'm just going to throw out one thing. The word manna means what is it?
Yeah.
And so the people in the wilderness were saying, what is this spiritual food? What is this? Give us meat. We want meat. And that's what a lot of the Christians are saying today. You know, what is this spiritual food. We want flesh. We want meat. And one thing I know, God is not going to fill heaven with a bunch of unhappy campers. And, you know, if you can't be satisfied and happy with the spiritual things now, I'm not sure why people will think they'll be able to later. And, you know, that term unhappy camper, you know, there's a lot of inconveniences to camping. You know, sometimes there's not heating and cooling and the restrooms clear down at the end of the campground and so forth and so on, you know, and a lot of people just won't put up with any kind of inconvenience whatsoever. And so, you know, we need to be able, you know, Jesus said, taste and see that I am good. And one of the problems is a lot of even Christians have never really tasted Jesus to see that he's good. And once you have, you're completely satisfied with spiritual things. The things of the flesh don't mean that much to you anymore. You know, Paul said, I just count them all dung. The life in Christ is so fulfilling and satisfying and good, and that all the things of the world just seem to fade away. So anyway, that's all I wanted to share. Wow, this thing is really sensitive. There you go.
Mark, that verse that you read from Deuteronomy 8.
No, get in there. Sorry.
You know, where it says that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from his mouth. So, you know, I'm thinking that you cannot pick and choose what you want to believe from the Bible. A lot of denominations do that. The Catholics, who, you know, they say they believe in Jesus Christ and so forth, and I'm sure some do, but in Catholicism, I've heard so many people say that these miracles that happened in the Old Testament, like the parting of the Red Sea, and all the miracles, well, not all, but most of them, they say that they didn't really happen literally, that they were allegories, and that's what they charge them to. And yet, in Scripture, there's only one place that an allegory is ever mentioned, and Paul did in Galatians 4. So these miracles, literally, you have to believe that everything that's in there, you know, literally happened. You know, so we live by every word. We accept every word in Scripture by faith. We don't pick and choose what we want to believe, but we have to believe it all.
Well, we're going to be held to that test sometime, Larry.
Yes, we are.
There's going to be things come up that we're not going to like.
Amen. Amen. But it's all testing so that we will grow in our faith. You know, I remember the disciple says, you know, they asked that the Lord would give them more faith. And that's a good thing. You know, where is our faith? How strong is our faith? You know, I mean, you have degrees of faith, and the Lord wants to have the fullness of faith to believe him no matter what we see and experience. And he will find a way to test us and to allow us to grow even in a deeper way. Because it's all about our faith, our belief in him.
As I recall, Larry, when the disciples asked for more faith, his answer seemed to say that it isn't whether you need more faith, it's whether you have faith or don't have it. If you have it like a seed of mustard, that'll do the job. You either have it or you don't have it.
That's true. Mm-hmm. But I guess what I'm saying is you have faith enough to believe everything God says.
Well, isn't that part of the 40 years? The first generation did not have it. There were only two people that had it. Joshua and Caleb. Mm-hmm. So the whole congregation was unable to go in because of unbelief. But 40 years later, he took them in. You're unmuted, Jim. Did you have something to say?
Well, I just, the thought came to me of tying something you read out of John 6 in with something that the brother shared in the dream. In John 6, you read where Jesus said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and their life." And in the brother's dream, the word of God just lifted off the page and it went like a powerful force, and it delivered the people. It healed the people. I mean, it was something living, and that's what Jesus said. The words that I speak, their spirit, their life, it's living. And not only is the word alive in us, but God has endued us the power to go out and speak that to others. That we're going to speak into situations in people's lives. And that same life that is in us, and came and ministered life and deliverance and healing to us, we're going to be able to take that out and share it with others. That the words that come out of our mouth, they can be spirit and they can be life because that spirit and life is in us.
Amen.
So, and I think somewhere along the line, Madeline kind of alluded to that too. But amen. That spirit and that life is living, abiding, dwelling in us. Amen.
Well, whenever we preach the gospel, we are preaching life unto people. And it's just up to them to accept it.
All right, I'm going to turn the recording off, but you still